Please turn with me back to Matthew 16, from where we read earlier. Our text shall be verse 26. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? And the title of our message, our consideration this morning, is The Greatest Gains and Losses of This Life. And here we are, Matthew 16, the Lord Jesus Christ, he is speaking initially, he's speaking first of all to his disciples. And the Lord Jesus Christ is challenging them. He's asking them about their commitment, about their readiness to live sacrificially for him, for the kingdom. As you know, as we read earlier in that passage, the disciple Peter, he identifies that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Christ. And this is a tremendous moment in the Gospels. And then Christ starts to explain to them, what sort of Christ? What sort of Christ do you think that I am? Am I going to be this great, wonderful ruler? And the Lord Jesus Christ to explain, no, I'm going to the cross. That's ultimately where I'm going. And Peter is horrified. This shall not be unto thee, Lord. And Christ, in a sense, he is also horrified because Peter is thinking in an earthly-minded way. He has to sacrifice himself and go to the cross. And so he comes with this passage and these words that we might gain this world, but we might lose our souls as we do so. And speaking to his disciples, as I'm sure many of us know here, we believe in once saved, always saved. Once truly converted, once God has truly brought me to himself, I will belong to him for all eternity, for this life and the life to come. So how can Christ say to his disciples, you will lose your soul, you will lose your life? It's the word is changeable in the Greek. And he means that the believer will do damage to their soul. Their soul will suffer losses. Their soul will be in decline. Their soul, their life, will be wasteful. This is what the Lord Jesus means when he says to converted people, you will lose your soul, you will lose your life. Instead of being honorable, you will be dishonorable. Instead of being commendable, as it says in the New Testament, you will, as it were, escape through the fire. You will just make it. But not because you are worthy, truly, as it were, totally, this is what it means when the Lord Jesus Christ speaks to converted people. You will lose. But the words have a second application, and that is to those who have not yet come to Christ, those who are not true Christians, those who are not converted, they are not born again. In the parallel account of this passage, Mark chapter 8, the Lord Jesus Christ calls the disciples, but he also says he called all the people to listen. This is a critical message for them to hear and for them to know. And we shall focus on this second aspect, this gospel aspect, this evangelistic aspect for the rest of our time here this morning. So a first heading for us this morning is that life is to be profited in. Life is to be profited by. I read the first portion of our text, verse 26, and it says, for what is a man profited? What is a man profited? There is a great purpose in life, which this verse is teaching us, which this verse is instructing us. Nowadays, because of the prosperity which is generally in the world, all of us are much more well off than our forebears. And there is relative peace in many parts of the world. Sadly, we've all heard the news from the Middle East last night. But because of the relative peace in the world, there is this mantra, there is this saying which is going around that life is to be enjoyed. Life is to be experienced. We should live to the full. And that's what's going around, is because we're all relatively comfortable. And like all good lies, like all skillful lies, this is partially true. The Lord God has made this world, this universe, in such a bountiful way. He has gone, as it were, over the top. There are so many wonderful things for us to see and to experience and to enjoy. So it is partially true, yes. This life is to be enjoyed. There are wonderful things to experience and to take advantage of and to be appreciated. But this passage says there is a key purpose. There is a key objective, which is also for this life. And it is to profit. It is to gain benefits, advantages, to advance. There are things to be gained. You're meant to come out ahead. You're meant to profit from this life. Are you profiting in your life? Are you getting wins? Are you getting achievements? Are you gaining from this life? And it's very personal. It is intensely personal. You must profit. I can profit, and I might be able to help you a little bit, but you must profit yourself. Each one must achieve these things for themselves. The Lord Jesus Christ says we ought to target, we ought to focus, we ought to aim for those gains, for those advantages, for those benefits which there are to achieve from this life. Are you on track? How are you doing? Are you progressing in the right direction to achieve this profit and these gains? Of course, the question is, what type of profit? What type of profit are we being exhorted that we must have? For what is a man profited? What is he profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? This is an incredible verse. What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? And the verse is clearly saying that there is nothing in the whole world which is of equivalent value to a soul. What a thing to say. Nothing in this whole world which is of equivalent value to the soul. And there are great things in this world. There are wonderful things in this world. Nowadays, we see all the travel programs, and you see all these amazing places you'd like to go and maybe buy some real estate. Many wonderful things. You go to certain parts of the world, and you see the yachts, you see the grand boats. Other places, you see all the fine food and the luxury. There are great things in this world. Really? Palaces, and then even on the intellectual side, intellectual pursuits. Philosophy and music and many wonderful things. But Christ says, and he says it categorically, you may gain all of these things. And if you, at the same time, if you damage your soul, if you disease your soul, then it is a total waste. A total waste. And it's not a partial waste. It's not as if, okay, I've gained the world and I've diseased my soul, and it's just maybe it's like 60-40. It's not. It's a total waste. A total waste. We need to make sure we profit in the right way. Gains, benefits, advantages, achievements for the soul. That is what this life is about. We need to secure our soul, and then we need to build it up as well. I trust that no one here follows those who say that there is no soul. There's no such thing as a soul. We're just chemicals bouncing around. The soul is the most valuable part of you. It's that immaterial spiritual part of you. It is the real you. It is the essential you. It is the center of your life and your personality. And it is your instrument, your capability to interact with God. Your soul is so valuable. And your soul, once brought into existence, it is never dying. It will never die. It will go on into eternity. This life is, it's not about these experiences, live to the full, enjoy all the pleasures. It is to secure and then to adorn, to beautify your soul. That's what this life is all about. And deep down, we all know this to be true. If I give an illustration, I hope it's not distracting, but we all know that the people we find most kind or most beautiful are those who shine from the inside out. They have these lovely characters, and they shine from the inside out. And there is that famous world of beautiful people, Hollywood. And this is a bit harsh to say, perhaps, I'm tarring them all with the same brush, but they don't produce the nicest people. They don't produce the nicest people, no matter how glamorous they are, because their souls are unkempt. Their souls are poor. Their souls are not managed. They're not taken care of. Their souls often are quite polluted, actually. And they gain the world. They have the millions and millions of dollars. They're all on the magazine covers. They have all the followers, but their souls are wretched. Do we find them attractive? Do we find them lovable? Do we want to spend the rest of our lives? No, we don't. We read a few stories. This is a generalization, I admit. But we know that true beauty, it shines from the inside out. That's where it comes from. What does the person look like on the inside? And if I equate that, what does the soul look like on the inside? What is the health, the beauty, the excellence of the person on the inside? And we all know this. And so we know that what happens on the inside is most important. What does your soul look like? To your friends, to your family, to your colleagues at work, and then even more important, what does your soul look like to God? What does God Almighty think about the state of your soul? Has it gained any profit? Has it gained any advantages from this life? The next heading for us to consider this morning is, this is a truth which I say we all know, deep down we know, but then we all try to avoid it. We all try to run away. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? And we respond to this question, what shall you give in exchange for your soul? And we all respond to this question, I could give so many things. I could exchange my soul for money. I'll exchange my soul for money. If I can get some money, I'll exchange my soul for that. Or I'll exchange my soul for a nice car. I can run away from Christ. I can dishonor him. I can leave him aside. I will disregard God so that I can get a girlfriend or a boyfriend. I will lose all my values. That's what I'll exchange my soul for. What can a man give? I could give so many dozens of things I could exchange my soul for. Popularity. I want people to like me at work or at school. I'll exchange my soul for that. Or freedom. Ooh, I want my freedom. I'll exchange my soul. I'll exchange my soul belonging to the King of Heaven so that I can have my own freedom. Another one, I'll exchange my never-dying soul for, I've called it a wait-see. A wait-see. I'm going to wait and see. I'm not going to commit to Christ. I'm not going to go into the world too much. I'm just going to wait and see what happens. Maybe in the future, I'll give myself to Christ. Maybe later, I might repent truly. But I'm just going to wait and see how life goes. I'm going to wait, see. And all the while, eternity is just a step away. This is rebellion. This is rebellion against the Lord Jesus Christ and against Almighty God. And we've all done this. We're exchanging a never-dying soul just to wait and see what happens. Or for popularity, or for some earthly thing. We refuse God, our Creator and our King, and we live for ourselves. And the Lord Jesus Christ, He knows all about the soul. And we ought to trust Him. See what He says. In an earlier verse 25, he says, "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it." What a statement! So emphatic, so definitive. Whosoever, anyone and everyone who saves his life will lose it. And by save his life, he means save his life according to my interpretation, according to my philosophy, according to my way of things. I'm going to safeguard my life. I want to have money, popularity, freedom, a girlfriend. So I'm going to save my life according to my way of thinking. I'm going to make things preferential, how I want them, suitable for me, ideal, best for me. I'm going to save my life according to my way of thinking. Get advantages according to my worldview. And the Lord Jesus Christ says, whosoever does that, anyone and everyone who does that will lose it. Why do they lose it? Because they ignore the crucial commands, the crucial instructions, God's commands, God's instructions, His directions. For how life should be arranged, what things to prioritize, what's most important. They're all here, but I'm going to do what I think. Therefore, I end up losing my soul, my life. I've tried to save it, safeguard it, but I've ended up losing it. And the lose in the Greek is destroy. I've destroyed myself because I ignored the things of God. And again, I say, Christ says, whosoever. So many have tried. Millions of people have tried. They've tried to do things their own way. But they could not avoid the destruction which Christ warns against. And they thought, the amazing thing is that they thought that they were saving their life. I'm doing something which is beneficial. I'm following my dreams. I'm being street smart. But they've ended up in total disaster. Somebody might object. I don't see what you're talking about, Mr. Preacher. I don't see people losing their lives, losing their souls. You say there is destruction. I don't see this destruction which you are talking about. I look around my neighborhood, I look around my friends, I look around my school, my work, and I see happy people. I see reasonable people. Life seems to be going on fine. I'm very thankful I'm not in Ukraine or Gaza. There's bad things happening over there. But when I look around my world, I look around my life, things are fine. Things are, what are you talking about? What's this soul destruction which you are talking about? And this objection, this person is partially right. I can be sympathetic. You look around and here we are in the West and there is peace and there's prosperity. And you look around and what's all the worry about? Things are not that bad. Yes, in Gaza and Ukraine, we can see death and war and terrible things, but not here. Things are fine here. Things are okay. But the death and the destruction which is happening right now in Ukraine and Gaza and Congo and such like places, where does it come from? Where does it come from? Does it not come from selfishness? Does it not come from self-will? Does it not come from no peace? I will have no peace with this person. And I will kill and pillage and destroy because I will have no peace with that tribe or that country. That's where that comes from. But who of us here, even just this past week, have not exercised or demonstrated selfishness and self-will and no peace? I will have no peace with this person. Who of us have not done that just this past week? Soul destruction. Our souls are destroyed here and now. The destruction is here and now. It's already here. And then the future destruction after God's judgment is coming as well. And that punishment is eternal. We try to avoid this truth that by ignoring Christ, by ignoring God's word, by not committing ourselves to it, we destroy ourselves. But the Lord Jesus Christ says, whosoever, anyone and everyone who saves his life, safeguards his life according to his own wisdom, shall lose it. And then the second part of verse 25, he says, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Shall find it. And the find word in the Greek is a word which I think maybe many of us heard when we were doing our GCSEs. It's the Eureka word. Eureka. This is a great finding, a marvelous, wonderful finding. Your highest purpose in life will be found in Christ, with Christ. Your highest achievements in life will be found in and with Christ. There is a shall here. The Lord Jesus Christ, he is the inerrant prophet. He never fails. And when he says, shall lose it, it's a shall lose it. And when he says, shall find it, it is a shall find it. Your most greatest and glorious things will be in and with Christ and not away from him. How do we know what is great? How do we know what is good? How do we know what is of value? What is the measure of this? And the answer is, it needs to have an eternal value. It needs to have an eternal value. What is the value of this thing? What is the benefit of this thing to the eternal welfare of my soul? Is this thing going to contribute to the eternal blessing, the eternal security, the eternal blessedness, the beauty, the excellence, the virtue of my soul? When we ignore these things, this is when we have no profit. This is when we damage ourselves, we lose ourselves in this life, and then for all eternity to come. For whosoever will save his life, he tries to save it, shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. A final heading for us this morning is that resolution is needed in order to profit. Has the eternal welfare of your soul been secured? Is everyone before me here this morning saved? Is everyone here before me, do you truly belong to Christ? Have you ever heard of a millionaire who came into their money without resolution, without zeal, without going for it? Have you ever heard of someone like that? Or even nowadays, influencers, they take hundreds of pictures a day. They don't just become influencers overnight. They've got resolution. I'm going to achieve this objective. And even people who say, this life is too complicated. I want a simple life. They resolve. I'm going to step back. I'm not going to get involved. Resolution is needed. If I read from verse 24, the Lord Jesus says, if any man will come after me, any man, there is this open door. There is this glorious access to any person to come to the Lord Jesus Christ, to follow him, to be one of his disciples. And there is this open door, but it can't just be this vague desire, this passing, maybe, yeah, this sounds reasonable. No, there needs to be resolution. I need what he has to offer. I need his mercy. I need his salvation. I need to belong to him entirely, not partially. I want him to be my all in all. Why Jesus Christ? Why not Buddha? Why not myself? Why the Lord Jesus Christ? If any man will come after me, then Jesus of Nazareth, he is the only one who has shown and proved himself through the gospel accounts, these historical documents, they record. He proved himself in countless ways to be the Son of the living God. And his teaching is here for us to see. His character is here for us to see. We know that he is the Christ, even as Peter declared in our reading. And this message of salvation, why Jesus Christ, verse 21, summarizes very nicely for us. Why Jesus Christ and him alone? From that time forth, after they identified, he is the Christ. Why him and him alone? Jesus began to show unto his disciples how he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. He alone would go to the cross, not just die on a cross like many criminals in that Roman Empire died, but sent there on purpose, sent there as the sacrificial lamb of God, sent there with all the weight and all the guilt of his people upon him. And in those hours of darkness, dealing with the Father alone, he paid the eternal price, that hell which his people deserve, somehow impressed upon his soul. And he propitiated, he paid for it, he atoned for it, he bore them away. That guilt and that wrath and that punishment. Why Jesus Christ? Who else can pay for sins? Who else can clear the path to heaven? Who else can give you perfect righteousness so you can stand before the holy God? If any man will come after me, yes, Lord, you are the only one whom people ought to come after. He says he was killed and raised again the third day. Another evidence. A clear evidence, the resurrection of our Savior. But this call from Christ, it is prefixed, as I said, the need for resolution, it is prefixed with an if any would come. People don't want to respond. People want to wait and see what happens. People want to exchange their souls for the things of this world. So Christ said, if any man will come after me. We know that God is sovereign in salvation. He works first in our hearts. But will you respond? Will you come forward? These things don't just work by osmosis. They don't just just sort of seep into our hearts somehow. There needs to be resolution. I need to seek him with all my heart. There needs to be determination, real taking myself in hand. Now, the rest of verse 24 says, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. I need to, things which I find pleasurable, things which I think, oh, this is good for me, I need to deny those things so that I can have Christ, so that I'm not blocked off from heaven. I need to take up a cross. You can look at this two ways, small burdens and sacrifices in this life, or even more deeply, I need to, as it were, put myself on the cross. Everything which I want, everything which I desire for myself, that goes on the cross. That person is crucified. And then I give myself entirely to God. If any man would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Thou shalt be Lord of my life. Thou shalt be my all in all. If I could sum this up, this is true repentance and true yielding of the life to Christ. This is true faith, true repentance and true yielding of the life. And just in closing, verse 27, I know I'm jumping back and forth a little bit. The Lord Jesus says, for the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. This speaks about judgment day. This is a sure day, an inevitable day. And allegedly, one of the favorite funeral songs nowadays is Frank Sinatra's I Did It My Way. And people play this song, and this person lived for themselves, and they didn't follow the rules, and they did it their way, and at least they lived a full and a happy life. But this is a great deception. When the soul is lost, it is a total disaster. Total disaster. No benefit. Everything you have done, a total waste. No profit. What is a man profited? Nothing. Nothing at all. For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward or recompense, he shall pay back every man according to his works. All of our works, if we are honest with ourselves, they do deserve judgment. This is why we must come to the only Savior and request his and plead for his salvation, that righteousness by grace through faith to be granted to us. Let's have a word of prayer. Gracious Lord and loving Heavenly Father, we do praise and thank thee for thy word. We praise and worship thee and thank thee for that zeal of the Lord Jesus Christ, speaking to his disciples, but also to the crowd, that these things are so critical, they are so vital. We need to profit from this life, and that profit is only for our souls to be saved, for our souls to be well. Help us all here this morning to receive this word. Be very merciful and gracious to us. We pray earnestly in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.